Welcome to Manager Tools. This week, how to handle body odor, part two. The questions this cast answers are, how do I tell someone they smell? What should I say to someone who has body odor problems? What should I say to the team when someone has body odor? For answers to these questions and more, stay tuned.
In the before times, managers delegated tasks based on how busy their employees appeared to be in the office. With remote teams, it can be difficult to gauge how much work employees truly have. The Effective Manager, Second Edition, provides guidance for managers of remote teams on how to delegate tasks effectively, as well as how to use the rest of the Manager Tools Trinity remotely. The simple answer is just to ask directs how much work they have on their plate. For the other details and for more answers, you can purchase your copy today. Visit us at manager-tools.com/products.
Which brings us to preparedness. Get prepared. Preparation. What do you do? Okay. First, get specific information. This comes under the larger guidance that we would give to less experienced managers. Just because somebody complains doesn't mean you have an issue. It's not a horseman's law. It's not in the actual, you know, set of horseman's laws. Mark, though, one of our co-founders, often says, you don't have to have all the answers, and you certainly don't have to have all the answers right now. He says it often enough, it feels like a horseman's law. It's not technically in the canon of them, but look, you don't have to have every single answer. Gosh, doesn't that sound overwhelming if you did? And you don't have to know everything right now either. Like, you're going to learn. So, oh gosh, it's really true of younger managers, really true of less experienced managers, that they really think that a complaint is, by definition, a call to action.
Right.
Like, because someone complained, I should do something.
Because it's my job. And I wasn't trained. I don't know what to do, Kate. Don't I just do the things that people ask me to do?
I also think there's a subset of just professionals out there who really think like, oh, if there's a problem, I'll solve it. Like, I'm actually that person. I'm that person, not just professionally. I'm that person in my whole life. If somebody says a thing, my brain immediately thinks, that sounds like a problem. I could solve it. Here's the solution. It doesn't even ask the person, is that a problem? Do you need help? Like, I just spit out solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I do it all the time to my husband. He'll say like, I really like this food. And I have actually said out loud in response to that sentence, well, I could have Amazon Prime deliver it monthly if you'd like.
Yeah.
Saying I like this food is not a definition of a problem.
Exactly.
But so, okay. So just because somebody complains, just because someone likes the ramen, you don't have to solve a problem.
That's the thing. So when someone brings this to your desk, you don't need to panic. Relax. And your ability to relax in this situation will help you focus on specifics. We'd be willing to bet that the way the information comes to you is overly general, fully nonspecific. Cloaked in embarrassment, as in an individual comes to your desk and says sheepishly, I hate to say anything, but this individual that sits near me really smells all the time. And an individual saying that to you, coming to your desk and saying that sentence to you, is just about the least helpful information that you could ever hear at your desk as a manager. It's not designed to be helpful. Like, that person hasn't thought through, how can I be helpful to my manager to give them the information they need to possibly, potentially do something?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just a complaint at that point. I mean, it's just a complaint.
I think now that we've talked enough about personal scent and all the different reasons and all that stuff, I think it's really easy to hear when you gave that example of how there's just so many things that it's like, I need 7,000 pieces more information.
I need more.
I cannot proceed with this
generalization, random complaint brought to my table to fix for me.
Yeah, you can't proceed. So we recommend that you ask specific questions, and we've got a list. Okay, so questions to ask. How long have you noticed this? What specific times of the day and places have you noticed it? Is it relative to activities that you're certain of? What specifically is the scent? Describe it for me. You're not liking it is not helpful.
Good one.
And you could leave that off at the end, but okay. Did they acknowledge what you had noticed, or did they notice it independently? And again, remind them, please don't speak to anyone else in the event that I also am going to go talk to them, right? And then are you aware of anything that might be the cause? These are specific questions that you can ask to get to the source of the issue.
Another one, and I know you mentioned, is telling them not to speak to other people, but you might also ask, who else have you spoken to? Right? We don't want them to speak to people, but have they spoken to somebody else? Or has someone else shared a concern with them?
Right. And then did those people acknowledge that you had noticed, or did they notice it independently? Right.
Yeah.
And then, okay, good. So those are the questions that we're going to ask. And realizing that throughout this information gathering situation moment, we're not ready to agree with any of what they're saying.
Right.
We're not signing up that this is
reality. Yeah, no, we're just asking questions. We're not commiserating or whatever it may be.
Right. It's possible that the questions will puncture their argument, or there's also the possibility that, okay, yeah, there's a notable scent, and this person who's reporting it to you has made it into an issue when in fact it's not.
Right.
I'm specifically imagining somebody who goes to the gym at lunch, comes in, and for the 10 minutes while they're gathering their stuff to go to the shower, right? They've been working out. And there's a personal scent of having worked out. But then the person leaves, they go shower, they come back, and everything's fine. So, okay.
Okay, well, that's just a complaint now. It's not helpful. There's nothing we have to do about it. I mean, there's nothing to be done about it.
In that case, yeah. And the point of these questions is to get both the data to help you decide what the cost-benefit situation is, and also to verify whether or not it's the truth, like verify veracity of the complaint that's being made. So we ask specific questions.
Exactly.
And
during this conversation, it's important that you do not commit to that individual in that moment to any specific action. This is also related to the you don't have to have all the answers guidance that Kate mentioned a minute ago. Right? You don't have to have all the answers, and you certainly don't have to have them all right now. You're going to be asked by this individual who's come to your desk and made this generic complaint. You're going to be asked by them, what are you going to do about it? No, you owe the complainant nothing at this point. And that includes follow-up. If and when you do something, you don't owe this individual any, let's close the loop here, let's tie it up, don't worry about it, I addressed the situation. None of that. That is not your job. You do not owe that individual anything. They are not driving this train. You're the manager. You're driving this train. If someone's brought
this— That's why they came to you.
Exactly. I was going to say, if somebody's brought this problem to you, they have decided that they're not going to do something themselves. Therefore, you're now fully in control of this situation. They no longer are.
Yeah. Get out of— you want me to take care of it? Good. You don't deserve any information either.
Exactly.
That was mean.
But it's true. I mean, at some point it turns into gossip, right? At some point it turns into I want to know what you did about it, because not cool. Not cool.
If one of my directs came to me about this, I would feel frustrated that their assumption is that it's my responsibility to take care of it.
Yeah.
Now, I want to be clear. If a person is willing to come to their manager and share something like this, I hope I get to take care of it, because I think that denotes perhaps someone not being very kind or very thoughtful. And I'm not suggesting in every case. I would want, though, to be the person who was taking care of it, because I would believe that I would handle it with more kindness, thoughtfulness, and professionalism than somebody who essentially assigns responsibility to somebody else. I think. So if they come and they tell you the story and they ask, hey, what are you going to do? You say, I don't know. And thank you for sharing. You're going to just keep saying thank you. If someone's really, really, really looking for help, they'll accept you saying, I don't know, and thank you for sharing. They'll accept that response. And it's those people who have less than altruistic motives who will respond with, oh, well, here's what I'm going to do if you don't do something, right? again, like the person who says like, well, if you don't do something, blah, 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 I'm going to do something. Then those are the people I don't want handling this situation.
Totally. Exactly. And I mean, at that point, it's just threats, right? It's just threats, yeah. Threat they're making to you. And rather than addressing their threat, simply say again to them saying, well, if you don't do something, da 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 da, say, thank you. This is a moment to use your managerial power to end the conversation without letting your direct, again, take it now from your control into which they've given you, and taking it back and driving things. Say thank you until you're blue in the face, rather than suggesting with any other answer that you owe this complainant any activity at all.
Yeah.
At all. And we'd say further, we rarely recommend moving people. Like fully like mm-hmm. doing an office reorganization. I think you referred a little bit to this a bit earlier, Kate.
Because I think that's what managers immediately think of. They immediately jump to the idea of, oh, I'll just move someone. And that's not a solution. It often sends a message.
Yeah.
That what the employee who complained wants is more important than the team. Listen, we don't think you should move the complainer or the person who sent is an issue at all. And largely, this is because we've seen it done and it has not been effective the majority of the time. So too many times we've seen this be the way people approach this problem and it just has not worked. So learn from experience,
right,
and our knowledge that moving people is not the right answer.
Yeah. What are you going to say? If they're like, oh, well, why are we doing this reorganization? What is your answer going to be? Well, someone requested the change. Somebody wanted it. Okay. So now what? Now you just open the floodgates. So does that mean every time anybody on the team gets to ask for an office or a desk move, we all get to move around and reorganize? It just opens the floodgates of the things that people think they can ask you for that are trivial and not helpful to production or productivity within our team and our organization. No, they can't just ask for things that they would like to see happen. You can't give them the impression that that's what you've done.
I used to share a cube with someone who wouldn't have been my first choice. And I also have shared a cube with someone who was truly lovely. And imagine if someone came in and was said something like, well, you said that somebody requested a change and that's why we all moved offices. I have a request because I don't necessarily adore my cube mate. Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, seriously, first of all, oh gosh, never mind. I'm not even gonna go down that rabbit hole because my brain just made this cascading series of like ideas. Okay. So we don't recommend moving someone. We do recommend that you, in response to this conversation, do not commit to specific action and that you just say thank you for the information over and over and over again, and then move on to the next recommendation we have, which is to gather data. We recommend you do two things.
Yes. First, find out for yourself. That is, okay, so you've got this information now. Spend some time paying attention to the directs sent personally. You go and do what we would think is kind of like a verification. Go to their cube when they're there and when they're not. I mean, look around, smell under their desk. Feet are often missed as a cause.
Yep.
And if you think this is beneath you, right? It seems like kind of creepy. That's a little bit quick, but a little bit weird to like go and like check in someone's office. Remember, we don't care about scent. We care about the impact this is having on the team. This isn't about the scent.
Yeah. We're here to look at what is the impact of this scent. And that might mean doing some investigating. And you got feet in there. I know when I take off my slippers, I'm at home. It's not always like the best game in town.
And you know what I thought? If you go around and you're underneath someone's desk, maybe, just maybe, the person in question, the person that's got these odor issues, maybe they don't have a very keen sense of smell themselves. And something, let's call it a rotten apple core, is underneath their desk. And they can't smell it because they don't have a keen sense of smell. And nobody knows that, but it is true. And now their office mate is blaming the scent on them when really some bit of lunch is under their desk just decaying. And that person's getting painted with the, oh, they smell brush. And I'm like, okay, but there's a rotten apple core down here. Someone has to go down there and look for rotten apple cores. That's what I'm saying.
Okay. It wasn't under someone's desk. I did work in an office once, though, where there was a smell and no one could figure out what it was. It was because an animal had died behind the wall.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. These things happen.
Yeah. Maybe there's a raccoon dead behind the wall in the office.
That's so
gross. What it was.
But it could happen. I mean, these things happen.
Well, imagine that person's office was particularly bad. Now, they were the person who said there's a smell, and obviously they know they don't smell like dead raccoon. However, what if someone had walked by and been vocal about the fact that, oh, so-and-so's office smelled. That was a particularly bad summer, by the way. Anyways, okay. Yep, not helpful. Okay, so we find out for ourselves. Second.
Right. We talked to one or two other team members. This is important, folks, with whom we have a solid relationship and whose proximity to the person in question would allow them to notice any concerns. That is, ask them, remember back to those questions that Kate went through earlier, ask those people, again, with whom we have a good relationship, the questions Kate went over earlier, after explaining why you've asked.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, the way to start this conversation is simple. I'm concerned that blank's personal scent may be having an impact on the team. Can you help me understand whether it is, and if so, what the cause might be? This is a delicate conversation that I consider confidential.
Exactly. And note, you started with I, right? You said, you said, I'm concerned.
Yes. Thank you for pointing that out. Super important. It's, I have a concern. So that if somebody were to ask who brought up the concern, your response is, I have a concern.
Right.
And leave it at that. I'm saying, I have a question.
Now that you're the one here, you're the one fixing the problem, you're the one addressing it, you're the one who's here to inquire and learn more information, you are the responsible party. What Kate's saying is don't point to and be like, oh, well, when Kate was at my desk earlier, she mentioned blah, 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 blah. Because again, I mentioned this briefly, rumors. Now it's rumors. Just say it's me. Just take the responsibility. You're the one addressing it now. And here's the key issue. If you don't think there's an issue, this verbiage will not work. And so you shouldn't be having a conversation with other people, right? Kate said, I'm concerned that this person's personal scent might be having an impact on the team. So if you don't think there's an issue, you can't use that information. You can't say, I have a concern, because you don't have a concern.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you shouldn't be having this conversation at all.
Right.
Don't go to people and ask them about something that you don't feel is a concern.
Right. And don't do it just because somebody else said there was a problem.
Exactly. If you cannot discern, again, you're crawled around under their desk. You've spent some time doing a little bit of reconnaissance. If you don't agree with the problem, you don't go asking other people about a problem you don't believe exists.
Yeah, because they will talk about it.
Exactly.
And you can't stop them. And we're just going to hope that they keep it confidential. However, there's still a chance they won't. Okay. After you've done all this, decide. Pretty simple, obviously. You've heard a concern. You've got your head in the right place. You've taken some steps. You've gathered some data. What do you believe? Would it be most effective to ask for help from HR or ER or the medical staff? Is that a route to go? Is there a reason to have a conversation? Can you simply drop it, believing that while there's a slight issue, it's not really enough to justify further action? Think through, really, should you do anything? And decide, because we don't want you to rush to judgment and action, which is what so many managers do.
Oh, yeah. There's no urgency here, folks. You will feel an urgency, but there is no urgency.
Sure. Don't create an extra urgency, because it's unlikely that, honestly, that it is urgent to other people. And while we understand that you feel urgency around it, because it's partially because you're not used to dealing with it and somebody complained, and when people complain, a lot of us feel that we have to, that's an impetus for motion. Okay, instead, y'all, use your head, think data, think cost benefit, think team cohesion, because truly, you really might not have to do anything at all. And we want you to know that even if you're in this situation, it does not mean that action is required.
Exactly. Now, after gathering data and making your decision, should you deem it is worthy of conversation, we would recommend that you deliver privately, which, I mean, I think that goes without saying, but this is one of those conversations that you need to have behind a closed door. No longer is the standard not public, which is a subtle middle ground we use for one-on-ones oftentimes, right? Not fully private, but also public can't happen. It's not that middle ground. This conversation is private. In a room, just you and the other individual, door is shut kind of conversation. Because mm-hmm. this is a sensitive subject. And there might be tears. There may be fear or anger or embarrassment. And all of these feelings that the individual could potentially have are perfectly reasonable. Mm-hmm. Perfectly reasonable. So close the door. And we actually have an example. Someone once said to Mark, Kate mentioned Mark, one of our founders, but close the door? Gosh, that makes them nervous. Yeah, maybe. But better for them to be nervous at the beginning, thinking, oh, what's this about? And like a little bit tentative, than to be in the midst of this conversation, look over at an open door and be mortified. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that would be devastating.
They might be like, oh, what's this about with the door closed? That's surely better than, oh my gosh, I think my other colleagues might have heard this. How horrible. Don't do that. Is your team or organization planning to grow this year with an almost, I don't know how we're going to grow this quickly, number of new hires? Is there a consistent method to your interviewing and hiring processes? Are the right internal professionals involved and doing behavioral interviewing to ensure you have the right hires? Listen, if you can't say yes to all of these, you should probably contact us. Reach out to us today by emailing maggie@manager-tools.com to learn how to bring manager tools in to help your organization make more effective hires.
Okay, so private conversation delivered directly. And it's such a disappointment that we have to say this, but we've had a lot of debate with managers and HR people and other people over the years about this conversation. Many people have said, well, oh, just like leave some deodorant on their desk.
Ooh.
That is so offensive.
Oh, that is so offensive.
Maybe if you think that that is the right course, like you're the wrong person to have this conversation. That displays no sensitivity whatsoever. And we do believe that managing others should come with a level of sensitivity, that you should engage some sensitivity around some things, and that you don't have to think about kindness and ethics and all this. So please, y'all, don't do that. It's a terrible suggestion. It makes people feel dirty and okay. Ugh, I don't know. You know, we really do recommend that you deliver this directly to the person. People have also said to us, oh, bring it up in a meeting and let everybody know that something or other has changed and you'd like everyone to be sensitive to other people. Not cool. That makes everybody feel dirty, and the person who actually has a personal scent that's affecting others doesn't hear it, or worse, thinks that everybody has the same problem and so they shouldn't have to do anything. I mean, it's just, y'all, let's just talk about it, okay? Let's put some sunshine in that scary little dark corner.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have a script for you.
Just to help you out. It's a sensitive conversation. We don't want to leave you hanging.
No, that's what we're here for. This is our jam. Like,
yeah,
here are the words to say.
Exactly. So write this down. Get your fingers ready to type. And if you hear a modified feedback model, those of you who are familiar with manager tools will know what the manager tools feedback model sounds like. You'd be right. There's a bit of a modified manager tools feedback model in here, but essentially it could sound like this. I'd like to talk to you about a personal issue, and it's delicate. I hope I don't offend you. This is not something I'm terribly skilled at. When you come to work with a distinct scent, others notice, and it affects performance. I know that's probably hard to hear. Personal scent, but there it is. Maybe it's your choice of or amount of personal scents. Maybe it's working out and not showering. Perhaps it's a medical condition that I need help being sensitive to. I won't pry, but I hope there's a delicate discussion we can have about you making some changes. My concern is the impact on the team. Let's talk about it.
Y'all, there's nothing wrong with admitting some nervousness here.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, I'm
kind of
nervous.
Call a spade a spade. Address the awkwardness that is going to exist. You don't have to pretend you know exactly what you're doing. Tell them, listen, I don't know exactly what I'm doing here. Let's just have a conversation.
I truly believe that if you're going to ask candor of the other person, granting candor from your side about nervousness or like on a, you know, not sure that this is the right approach would be applicable. It's,
yeah.
Again, it's kind of like meeting someone at their own level a little bit. Like if you're going to ask of the other person to have an uncomfortable situation with or an uncomfortable conversation with candor, then let's also offer up some candor from ourselves.
Yeah.
And yeah, totally. This conversation is much harder to have with someone whom you don't know well, which is why we are hoping that you're doing one-on-ones. And by the way, if you don't know what we're talking about with one-on-ones, Manager Tools talks about one-on-ones all the time. Mm-hmm. Go find our podcast about one-on-ones. If you're doing one-on-ones every single week and you're talking to this person, then you should know them well enough to have a conversation with them. Maybe not that this particular conversation would be smooth and easy.
Right.
We're not suggesting that. We are suggesting that you have spent enough time with them if you're doing one-on-ones to be in a situation where you can, you know them pretty well. So there's that. So good. And then they might deny it, which, okay. So if they do, you say, I've noticed it. I do feel it's worth doing something about, though I respect that I can't know what that might be without your help.
Yeah, exactly. And if they ask you if you smell it right then, tell them point blank, either you do or you don't. And we wouldn't rub their noses in it, right? And we suggest softening your voice and being brief and just saying, I do, right? And if you don't at that moment, say no, but that you had noticed it recently and noticed it enough that you felt like this conversation was warranted.
Yeah. And they could also, instead of asking if you noticed it, they might ask if who mentioned it or who else noticed it. And you say, I've noticed, and that's why we're talking, because I believe it bears taking some action.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I mean, let's face it. One of the reasons that we don't really advocate for at Manager Tools the 360 review is because chances are the person could say to you, oh, I know who brought this to you.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be outside the realm of possibility that they do or they think they know. And if they say that to you, say, you and I are talking now. Bringing others up isn't helpful. And if you perceive that there's some issue between them and another person in this case, you might even add, and I wouldn't take kindly to any repercussions to that individual because that would suggest to me that you don't believe what I just said.
Right, about my experience.
Yeah, about my experience as the manager. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Don't encourage them to address with that other person directly this situation, right?
Mm-hmm. And we also want to offer resources. Because that's what we're here to talk about is not anything other than the impact. And are there any actions we can take to alleviate the impact? So at this point, you want to start talking about actions. It could be that they say exactly what the issue is, and that might make it easier or harder to handle. I mean, I specifically, pregnancy only lasts for a certain amount of time, yeah, right? There's
exactly.
There's certain things that are like, there's changes that are happening, right? It might be temporary. It might be something that can be eased. Basically, you're going to suggest the resources that you have available based on the research that you previously did, which we talked about in this cast earlier.
Exactly. But let's face it. I mean, it's likely that you have no resources. I mean, you might not. And we do care about our small company members at Manager Tools. You might not have a lot of resources if you're a small organization. We know some things are harder in small organizations, some things are easier. And if you don't have any resources, we recommend you suggest that they think about the situation for the next week, I'd say a week at the longest, and come back to you with some ideas, which you will turn into some sort of action plan no longer than a week from now.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to come up with a plan for the impact. And once we have that plan, then because you set a deadline of a week at the longest, we're going to discuss follow-up. And we really, really, really encourage you when you give them the week deadline to let them know that you're going to go through with discussing this later, probably again, you know, in your next one-on-one maybe, or depending on maybe not next, but the one, the subsequent one-on-one. And this is really a simple step. It's often skipped. And so people blow it. I mean,
yeah,
don't skip this step. It just proves that you don't think the problem is sent or impact. Not following up would suggest that the issue is actually the manager's ego, that she had to have a tough conversation with somebody about a delicate subject.
Mm-hmm.
If we're really, truly concerned about impact, then we have to follow up, because otherwise we can't be certain that the impact has been resolved. If you're not willing to go through the follow-up of every single week, and hold on. Bottom line, our recommendation is they're going to take some action. They're going to report to you. You're not going to do all the legwork, and you're going to get weekly reports and deadlines for actions.
Yes.
Which means, if you think about this, like from where we started, if you're not willing to have a weekly conversation about this, about what somebody's going to do about this issue, then you probably are in the situation of you're not going to do anything.
Exactly.
Okay. Like if it's not bad enough for you to say, yeah, I'm going to sit down once a week with this person and talk to them about actions they're going to take, deadlines, have they been met? Have those actions been completed every single week for the next, I don't know, 6 weeks? Yeah. Then, hey, you don't have that big of a problem.
Yeah, you shouldn't be addressing the problem. If it's not a big enough problem that you are willing to spend the next 6 to 8 weeks, whatever it is, talking about this.
Then is it a problem? No.
Then is it a problem? Exactly. No. And we're not suggesting that you bring this up weekly just to keep beating a dead horse. Sensitivity is good. Again,
yeah.
To Kate's point, I feel like you've clearly identified the fact that we want to bring some sensitivity. But again, we come back to impact. Once we've had this conversation, once the cat's out of the bag, you don't need to tiptoe around the subject. Tiptoeing around the subject, now that we've talked about it, only makes it worse. And you still need to do this privately. Okay, we're not saying that just because the conversation has happened, now it's out in the open and we can talk about it in non-private situations. We can't. You still need to talk about it privately, and you still need to talk about it weekly.
Yep.
Well, we hope that helped. I really hope that one helped. This is a hard one for managers. It's a tricky subject.
We really want to give y'all actionable guidance that will ease some of the stuff that you have to deal with as a manager that you probably never imagined you'd have to deal with. And if you're thinking about personal scent and impact, and then you go through these steps, you have a playbook. You can adjust if you need to ever do it again.
Yeah.
But our hope is that this gives you a path forward. And if you have questions, or if you've dealt with it and you want to send us a note, that's great. We'd love to hear from you. You can send us a note at customer service. And we just want to make this particular thing, if it can be smoother, easier, and less fraught, a little bit easier for managers to get through.
That's exactly it.
Thanks, y'all.
Thanks, Kate.
We'll see you next week with a new topic.